Welcome to Financially Ever After, your podcast for navigating the financial side of divorce. I'm Joseph D. Cruz, and I'm here with my co-host, Jade Eagles.
We're here to remind you that divorce might be the end of one chapter, but it's also really the start of a brand new journey filled with hope and growth.
Each episode will share practical tips for financial empowerment and insights to make this journey a little less daunting.
So thank you for joining us and welcome to Financially Ever After. Welcome back to another episode of Financially Ever After. This week, we're going to be talking about financial implications to consider with a divorce.
We'll be discussing the short-term and long-term financial impacts of divorce, exploring how divorce affects income, assets, and expenses, really fun, and discussing common financial challenges. So, why do we want to talk about this, Jade?
Well, I think part of the divorce, you know, there's obviously three big elements of a divorce. Okay, so there's legal, there's the emotional, and then there's the financial side. So we're going to really try and focus on the financial side, which is often neglected or overlooked. Correct?
Yeah, divorce is emotional because I think that's probably the first thing that comes up before anything else.
Well, they're probably already experiencing it, yeah.
Yeah, they're already experiencing it. They know it hurts. They're pissed. They're sad, whatever, right? And they're talking to their family or complaining to their friends or, you know, hopefully seeking therapy, right, to work through their feelings, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, people understand that legally to get divorced, they have to either, you know, hire a lawyer or go through a mediator. I know that there's some of these do-it-yourself places, too, that are becoming more popular, which I don't know if I agree with, but that's not the point here.
Like a turnkey solution.
Yes.
Yeah. TurboTax or something like that for divorce.
TurboTax, yeah. But weirdly enough, including in our situations when we got divorced, the financial part is just this weird unknown. So we're gonna talk about some of that right now.
I think maybe when people, if they are considering it, they're thinking maybe that the lawyer or attorney that they're working with is going to help guide them through that.
Right. Whereas, yeah. And I think maybe we assume that too, right? But a lawyer didn't go to school for numbers.
Well, it's kind of funny. We were actually at a dinner party for some of your alumni from UCLA over the weekend. And there was some, were they divorce attorneys or family?
Family law attorneys.
Family law attorneys. And, you know, obviously the topic of divorce came up because we're talking about, you know, our new podcast. And she, I think, or one or two of them actually had mentioned that, yeah, they would actually just kind of bring in either, you know, someone who specializes in, you know, the financial side of it. You know, that's not going to be their area there.
Right, right. They try to hand it off.
Yeah.
Right. But we found that according to a report published by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, that's a mouthful, it found that women's household income on average fell by 41%. With divorce, almost twice the size of the decline that men experience. So that's why we're really trying to spend time on this topic because I don't like that. I don't like that stat.
That's huge, isn't it?
What happened in your divorce? What do you feel like happened in the short term and in the long term? Like, how did you get affected?
Yeah, in my situation, there was having to, you know, downsize out of a, you know, from a house to an apartment for me because we'd gone from obviously both myself and my ex working, you know, earning good money, but then all of a sudden, you know, a large part of it. In fact, my wife was the larger income earner. So maybe I was probably in the female role in this one, perhaps. So I actually had more of a drop in my income go down. But, you know, there was definitely a downsizing that I had to do. And I had to kind of go back to really counting pennies, so to speak, again, because, you know, I think in my mind, I was still wanting to spend like a dual income household. Mm-hmm. So I had to go back to do budgeting, you know, something that I hadn't really had to do, fortunately. For me, emotional part of it also was like, you know, how I'd be judged and stuff like that. How would my son adjust to it as well? But, you know, what we actually found is during that time that we were in that apartment, you know, we still had so many great memories there. So I think it's the way that you look at it and what you make of it. And I think we just really tried to embrace it and enjoy that. That is a chapter of our story, our life. And even though we're no longer there in that apartment and we've moved into a house again, both of us look back, myself and my son, look back with really fond memories of that time.
Yeah, and I feel like many times, like even in during my decision period, and it's come up with other friends, and I read about it all the time with people getting divorced, I do notice that people say stuff like, well, it would be traumatic if my kid moved out of this house into something else, and that's why I want to stay there. Mm-hmm. And what I really found was that your kid is gonna feel the same thing that you feel about it. So if you try to make it into some positive experience where, like, this is a fun change, we're going to do something new, they're going to reflect that too. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I feel like, yes, I think your son was a little bummed, right, to not have the yard and the chickens anymore, but then...
Well, I was bummed for the chickens
I think
well,
you were. Yeah. I think you were more bummed, actually.
I was about to get a beehive, I think, so...
But at the same time, you scored living closer to the beach, where, look, most people can't live closer to the beach, but, you know, you went into a place that's maybe less than half the size of your house, but then... There were a lot of other nice things about it that you focused on. So I think for me, in terms of just the short-term changes that I had to experience, you know, I had to learn how to cook. You know, I think my ex and I we had lived in New York for 12 years. Well, I had lived in New York for 12 years and he lived there for longer. And in New York, it's easier to get takeout than to cook because your kitchen's there microscopic, right? So I think when we moved back to Los Angeles, we felt the same way. Like, let's just mostly get takeout and not really cook. And that just wasn't a possibility anymore when I became a single person household or a single earner household. So I did have to embrace cooking. So
is that the right word? Embrace.
I'm trying to be positive here. So and look, some other things that I had to do in terms of adjusting for the budget, right? I used to love going to concerts. And you know what? Concerts weren't part of the fun things I could do anymore. So, and that's okay, though, because I found other things that I could do. Like, I don't know, just take walks around the neighborhood. And that's nice, right? That doesn't cost as much money. But I would say... There were a lot of things that I did have to adjust in the short term where I did have to cut out things that brought me joy, but that cost me money. I'd like to think that, you know, years later, some of that stuff that I had to cut has come back now that I've made that adjustment. And looking back, yeah, I probably did feel a little self-pity for a little bit trying to cut these things out, but you know, you make these adjustments and you try to transition and kind of just work through that short term, very, I wouldn't say sudden, but more sudden change in your income and lifestyle. And then as you're working towards, you know, perhaps making more in your career or settling into a home that maybe costs less, then you can slowly work back or work towards bringing back some of those activities that maybe you had to cut in the short term.
And I guess, you know, did you, even when you're making those cuts, was it a goal of yours to kind of be able to work towards or find a higher income job or, like, you know, work extra hours to try and bring back your income up so that you could start incorporating some of those things that you had to cut back into your lifestyle?
I mean, over time, but I think also it was this forced exercise, right? Like you don't think you have to do these things, but it was this, looking back, it was this nice exercise in a way of getting rid of stuff that you realize you don't really need.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I also had to move from the family home that I ended up keeping. I mentioned this before, like I had to kind of hopscotch around the neighborhood, quickly realizing that I couldn't afford the monthly payments of the home that I kept. So I rented it out, went to a smaller place, went to another place, eventually made my way back. But the kids actually found it fun and were disappointed that they had to move back into the original place because I think they had fun. Like, where are we moving next? This is fun. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought they'd find it traumatic, but they actually found it entertaining at my expense, of course. I don't think I like packing and unpacking, but you know, when they're not doing it, it's kind of fun. But in terms of income, assets, and expenses, yeah, of course, there's changes, and you have to budget. budget meaning write it down.
Yeah.
Right?
On assets, like when I think of that, you know, were you already starting at the time? Were you thinking, all right, this is going to really affect, you know, the retirement savings that your partner had saved up as well, though? And like, how's, am I going to have to adjust the my retirement date based off that? You know, how did you, when you look at like the asset level, how did you kind of navigate through that yourself?
Maybe we should back up for a second and define. So income is money coming in, right? So your paycheck, for people that are retired, Social Security, or let's say you have a rental property, it's the rental income coming in. So money that's coming in on a regular basis, that is
that allows
income.
You to live your lifestyle.
Yes. So, and then the opposite of that, I guess, is expense, yep. right? Your expenses. So paying your rent or mortgage, food costs. I actually call it food and fun costs. So what does it cost to live your life? You got to feed yourself and you got to have fun.
Yep.
So that costs money. But what are assets, Jade?
I think assets are, they could be, whether it be real estate, investment properties, maybe savings accounts, investment accounts, retirement accounts, anything that has a value associated to it. So maybe some of your income is actually going to fund or support one of those assets. I think that's how I'd probably look at an asset.
Yeah. So I like to call it a noun. It's a thing, right? So the way my assets were affected, and it's actually something that you work on during the divorce proceedings, is listing out every asset.
Why is that important though?
Because once you divide up the assets, well, you have to divide up the assets, right? Yep. So you can't divide it if you don't know what's there.
And depending on where you are, they might not be divided equally. It might be divided
equitably.
Equitably, yeah. So it might be, you know, 60-40 or something like that, depending on a number of factors, which we'll kind of get into later on.
Right. It's based on something that's quote-unquote fair, depending yep. on who's looking at it. But yes, there's something called equitable division mm-hmm. that we'll talk about in a different episode. But, you know, depending on how you divide up your assets, for example, you know, if everyone has to come up, let's just call it equal, right? If you have to try to do a 50-50 split, it doesn't necessarily mean you split every asset in half, right? No. You can end up with more of the house and less of your retirement, or vice versa, right? But when deciding on that, you also have to try to figure out, like, okay, if I'm going to keep the house and I'm going to give up all my retirement in exchange, what does that do for my retirement?
Yeah. And there's some ramifications that go along with that. Like, are you, even though you might really want that and be able to, you know, afford it now, what happens if something changes? Are you then going to have to sell that house as well? So there's going to be ramifications that yeah. come along with it.
Some challenges that come up during divorce proceedings, I think it's when those emotions come up, right? So your emotions are valid during divorce, the emotions you're feeling, but sometimes they kind of get in the way. They tend to get in the way when trying to make logical decisions in your best interest and your ex's best interest, right? So trying to separate that emotional and kind of keeping a cool head and trying to figure out, like, okay, is it worth for me to fight for this house if I have no other penny to my name mm-hmm. because I'm going to give up everything else? Is that the best thing for my kids and me?
And I think that's why, you know, having, you know, or utilizing like a third party, whether it be a mediator or, you know, a financial professional who specializes in divorce proceedings.
Like a CDFA, know, right.
Can help out at least with that division. And hopefully they can be, or they would be impartial. So they're hopefully both, you know, parties can, you know, dial down that anger level at each other if a third party is coming in there and helping with that division of the assets.
Right.
Because ultimately, I think both parties just want to be heard and make sure that they're getting what's right and what's fair.
Right.
Yeah.
And I, you know, again, I have this divorce mentor that really helped me figure out what it was realistic for me.
Yeah.
Right. And looking back, she was fantastic, and she has since become a divorce professional. It was just still the Wild West, even being a financial advisor, not knowing what to do. So I guess the point of this whole thing is short term, yes, it could be jarring, right? You might have to make very quick adjustments to your lifestyle that may not be fun, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be forever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be, right? But it's better not to put your head in the sand and figure out what are these incomes, expenses, and assets that I have right now, mm-hmm. and how is it going to change post-divorce, and how is my lifestyle going to change post-divorce so that I can get through this?
Yeah. But there will, and to kind of, bring this all together, that, there will be long-term impacts from any divorce.
Of course.
That you won't be able to get through, but now you're
won't be able to get through, or will be able to get through.
well, I don't know, but like all things that will have a long-term ramifications from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long-term adjustments.
Maybe the wrong choice of words.
There will be transitions, right? Yeah. But you'll make those decisions for yourself to figure out, like, what is it that I want to change in the long term, and what can I live with in the long term?
Yeah.
Right? So I still cook, reluctantly. I don't cook as much anymore, but I do still cook so that, A, I can provide healthy meals for my kids, and B, save a little money every once in a while so that I can do other fun things.
I think also, one thing that maybe you might want to consider is just also setting a good example for your two daughters of there should be enjoyment of creating healthy, nutritious meals in the home. Obviously, I'm more of a food person, so I'm a bit more of an advocate for that. But yeah, I think that also sets the right impression for your kids.
It is my secret hope that they don't have to live off of Hamburger Helper like I did in college, because that was really disgusting. Yeah. So hopefully they can at least make something else besides Hamburger Helper. Based on that, we're in the fun segment.
Oh,
divorce this or that.
Jeez, I struggled this week.
I still don't know.
So I guess that means I've got to go first. I'm going to give you a choice. So Joe's definitely likes to have a lot of organic products and stuff like that. And so I try and I'm not saying that I'm against that, but some of her choices, sometimes I'm like, is there any difference between this and that? So I'm going to give her a choice.
Okay.
Of either. So you got to eliminate one of them. Okay.
Okay.
Of course. So organic blueberries versus normal blueberries.
Okay.
Or organic chicken versus normal chicken. And please feel free. To, I'll let some of my research that I did for you.
Oh, my God. We don't have enough minutes. Yeah. But I'm going to divorce organic blueberries.
Ooh.
Just because I feel like I eat more chicken than I eat blueberries.
Okay.
Right? So I think there's more chicken going into my body than actual blueberries. So if that's what I got to do, that's how I choose.
All right. Okay. Did that allow you enough time to come up with one for me?
I found one choice. So I guess it's going to be a food-based one.
That's always safe.
Yeah. All right. So even though you love to cook, there are certain things that you like that are instant in quality, which is very strange.
What do you mean? Instant.
Instant. So divorce this or that. Instant noodles. Ooh, because sometimes you do give that to your son for lunch, and you use it for some chow mein recipe, which I don't understand.
Oh, no, I don't use it for that, but okay, yes.
Well,
but
I do like instant, eating it. Yeah, yep. Instant noodles or Vegemite.
Well,
Vegemite from Australia.
I would have to get rid of the instant noodles, I think. I don't think I'd be allowed to get rid of Vegemite. We're born with a teaspoon of that at birth in Australia.
Okay, okay,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'd get rid of... I'd get rid of the noodles as much as I do love them.
All right, fine.
All right.
So anyway, thank you for that. So in this episode, what we did talk about was financial implications during divorce, assessing those short-term and long-term changes that can happen, talking about how it can affect your income, expenses, and assets, and just talking about some financial challenges that you can experience while going through that process.
So hopefully you got some value out of today's episode there. And, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Thanks for joining. I'm Jade.
And I'm Joe.
See you next time. Bye.
Jade and Joe are advisors of the Wealth Garden FS, an SEC registered investment advisor. The information is general and educational in nature and should not be considered financial, tax, or legal advice. It is not intended to serve as a substitute for personalized advice or as a recommendation or solicitation of any particular security, strategy, or investment product. Please consult with a qualified professional about your individual situation.
Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where the Wealth Garden Financial Services and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by the Wealth Garden Financial Services unless a client service agreement is in place.